You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. At Open Doors, that's what we try to do. We try to listen to the cry of the persecuted believers worldwide and then come alongside with what they need, not what we think they want. So we attempt to listen to their cry as God instills that in our hearts and how they speak to us. And Brother Andrew, our founding father, his favorite passage, and he mentions this every time I hear him speak, whether on DVD or satellite, and it's from Revelation 3 to the church in Sardis. And the verse 2, it says, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die." And that's, again, what Open Doors is about. We try to come alongside and strengthen those who are being persecuted. And that's the idea of the word die in that passage. And then a passage that I'm attempting to study in my time and actually do a full sermon on, but it's from Romans 15 and the verse 30. And the writer says, "I urge you." So I urge you. He's pleading. He's saying, this is really important. "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle." How? "By praying to God for me." Again, as you leave here tonight, I want to stir your hearts to be praying, first for Hessen Christian Fellowship, two, for your circle of influence around these communities that you live, and thirdly, globally, for the mission-minded people who are going out into the world and risking their lives on the very line for their faith in Jesus Christ. So let's pray before I begin. God, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for each person here. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters who just couldn't make it tonight. Lord, would you help us understand a little bit about what's going on in Asia? This is a big world, Lord. We don't come thinking that we have this all under control. So, Lord, would you humble us tonight? Give us teachable spirits, me included. And God, would you just change each one of us to be more global, mission-minded workers for you? So we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to remind you about the mission of Open Doors real briefly and then get into this, give you a lot of photos tonight about China and North Korea. Open Doors was started by Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew is about 83. I'm not sure if anyone knows his exact birth other than his spouse, but we say he's 83. He has failed quite a bit since I was here last. He has slowed down, not by phone and all the new technology, but he doesn't travel the world like he once did. But he started the mission about 50 years ago, and at that time, again, was smuggling Bibles, being creative in his distribution, I guess I should say, to behind the Iron Curtain at that time. Since then, the ministry has broadened substantially over the years, and it's basically our forefront now is to the Muslim world. But we try to strengthen the body of Christ, those that are there, try to strengthen them, however that looks and whatever they need. Could be Bibles, it could be microfinancing is a new, you know, we lend money to them, we help them develop a business plan. Could be to inform and train the church leaders. And that is a large part of Mr. Esterbrook's ministry as he travels the world. He would perhaps gather the elders of this fellowship, talk for a day or two, ask what they would need, see how he could encourage them. And most leaders he speaks to have never had any training in the Word, so he'll help them with that too. And then lastly, but certainly not least, is we try to motivate the church in North America. We still live in a free country as of today, but persecution is coming this way. So we try to motivate and educate us here in North America about the plight of brothers and sisters worldwide. And I believe a number of churches are doing a really good job of that now internally, letting their people know what's going on worldwide. So to get a upfront and personal look at this, Mr. Johnson, our executive director, who sends his blessings also, sent me and 15 other people to China and North Korea. I was pretty excited when I heard China and North Korea, the most restricted country in the absolute world. That's probably my response. I said, okay, let me think and pray about that, sir. The trip was 13 days long. And yes, I finally made it to Beijing. 16 in our tour group, and it was a tour group. There was a few Open Doors personnel tucked in the tour group, but it was a tour group. That's how we were able, not just to get to China, because it's fairly easy to get a visa there. That's how we were allowed into North Korea. And I'll give you the end of the story. Is Mr. Esther Brooks has a couple of books back there, and one is Escape from North Korea. And he's written other items with regards to North Korea too. But so he was, his spouse, Diane, was very concerned as we went. When we got back, within a day or two, there was an email from the North Korean government via our guides asking about Mr. Esther Brooks, why he was in our country, what he was doing. He's written fables, he's written all these fictitious stories about North Koreans, bad people, etc. So that's why I said in the beginning, of all the countries Paul has traveled in, I don't think he's heading back to North Korea soon. So anyways, we had three Americans on our tour, and God bless America, for sure. I have lots of friends who are American. Americans going to China, no problem. To North Korea, North Korea thinks they're still at battle with the Americans. So that was a challenge. And I'll talk a little bit about that. The goal of our trip was simply this. We had three goals. And one was, everywhere we went, we envisioned, and it was a prayer walk. So whether we were going from a restaurant to a mall to a corner variety store, back to our living, everything was a prayer walk. And we chose Joshua 1:3 as the verse we stood on. And it says this, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. So everywhere we went, and we went into some difficult places, that's the verse we, each of us silently prayed. We also went to deliver some Christian literature in China. We could not do that in North Korea, because if we were caught, we don't think we would have been executed, but we could have been. That's the law of that land. We would have been definitely deported. Thirdly, to get a first-hand update from our Chinese contacts on what's going on in the house church in China. And our guide was one of our contacts, so we had about 6 days with this gentleman in a bus traveling here and there. So, and the last was to get a better understanding of life in North Korea. And a lot of these are the touristy items. Yes, we made it, finally. When we flew into Beijing, I'm not sure, I think some have been to China, but China's 1.3 billion people. Massive, massive population. Beijing is 20 million people, the city we flew into. I thought Toronto Pearson International Airport was big. It's like a foyer of the Beijing airport, just to give you an idea. When we arrived, this would be the cluttering of the streets, okay? I'm from St. Mary's, which is 50 minutes that way. So I'm from a town of 5,000, and we have three lights. So this was a typical street. From our motel in Beijing, and I have a purpose for this. I was mentioning to George, I believe one of the biggest challenges that the Chinese government has, number one being communist, of course, but number two is that the mixing of urban and rural. I mean, we have that a little bit in Canada, but we still have land and space. If we want to get away from being in the city, we can do that. In China, this is downtown Beijing. I'm sitting in the Courtyard Marriott Motel having breakfast at 6 a.m. the first morning I was in Beijing. And these folks here had started at 5 o'clock. I was outside because I didn't sleep a lot there. I'd been up for a couple of days, so I couldn't really get my sleep pattern. So I went for a walk. These fellows started at 5. They're right across from the metropolitan area, directly across. And people started lining up here at 6 a.m. to buy their wares. The most interesting part, I thought, was this over here in this alleyway was a pile of garbage that might fit in this auditorium. Might. So again, the urban and the rural and how they're trying to deal with all this in China was mind-boggling, and that was just in the first couple hours of daylight being in Beijing. So, and I watched these folks, anytime we were in that area, I would check this place out, and they were the hardest working people going. In China, people still revere. Their god is Mao. The gentleman who died decades ago, right? That's their God for sure. In a communist country, there is no religion. No religion. And I want to quickly get through China and get to North Korea. But in our one day there, this is Tiananmen Square. You want to see people? This is where the massacre was that occurred. More people. These people here lining up. And I show this because they're lining up to see the supposed preserved body of Mao. It has been preserved all these years. And every day it is raised from the depths of the earth. And it's raised up so that people can go in and worship and bow. And any of the people, I stood here for quite a while just watching people, but any people that were outside these ropes or lines were absolutely screamed at by the communist police. Screamed at. I show you this because everywhere we went in China, there was a photographer. And anywhere you went, there was all these cameras. Didn't matter where, public, private. Inside motels, outside motels. This is the Forbidden City. And of course, Mao's picture is absolutely everywhere in China. Everywhere. And worshipped. We also went to the Great Wall of China. And I just say that because of the awe and the beauty of how God's creation is. The Great Wall of China is a spectacle. It's a marvel. This is the scenery behind there. Lindo, my cohort and myself, we actually walked up that, just about done us in, but we did it, just to say we did it. The scenery was beautiful there. And I show this too, and I'm going to show some of North Korea to say that China is communist, North Korea is communist. It's two of the most beautiful countries in the world. In the world. And God needs to take that back from the communist people. Mr. Esterbrooks, some of you have seen Paul before. He didn't want to walk down the hill, so we took toboggans down. And God bless him, because we were lost on top of the hill, and I found Paul, and he got me on one of these things. So, when we left Beijing, of 20 million people, we went to, we had a train ride. Actually, the bus ride before that, our tour guide gave us some insight on his house church. And I'll start there. The house church that we support a lot of, at least in Beijing, I won't say his name, I shouldn't say his name, but our brother there is a pastor in a church pod that has 15 pods of 50 each. 5 years ago, they had one pod of 50, maybe. They have tried to be registered by the government. They want to be registered. The government knows that they worship. It would be like they met here. The government would watch them every Sunday, people coming and going, taking notes. They would know who it is, taking photos, but they will not allow them to be registered. Why? So that they can still arrest the pastor at any time, because it's an illegal formation of a group. So, the church in China has caught the idea. I started to mention this to George previous. They now support a pastor for all of their pods, all of their churches. They're self-sufficient in that. Now what they do is they take up collections and they support a church in the north of China. They are missionaries in their home field now. Now, I think that is, you know, praise the Lord for that. We can learn from that, right? So they don't necessarily think they need to have a bigger church. They necessarily think they need more churches, right? So we don't need the church of 8,000 people coming in. Let's plant a church in Listowel. Let's move one over here. Let's move one over here. They have that vision, and they're going to continue to do that, according to our guide. Back to this. This is part of the Shenyang. We took a train that averaged a speed of 250 kilometers an hour from Beijing to Shenyang. Shenyang was a city of 8 million people we arrived into. And their train stations are bigger than our airports in Canada, for sure. But this place here, you can see it's like cosmopolitan, it's like New York. But as you move along, me and Lindo always took our own guided tour, but as you went down, you see the cooking outside, and as you went down further, there was shops that you could barter and talk to actually the Chinese people. And then when we went back to our motel, you can see the smog here in Shenyang. You didn't see that in Beijing, Because Beijing, the Olympics, what they did, they took most of manufacturing and industrial out of Beijing and moved it to smaller cities like this and took the pollution with them. Pollution is rampant everywhere in China other than Beijing. It's pristine. We visited the government churches there, which was interesting. We talked to our guide at length again about the government church, and he says, well, you know, praise the Lord that the pastors in the government churches of China are now allowed to preach the word from the Bible. What they cannot do is talk negatively against communism or negatively against the government. Would make sense because the Bible would say not to do that anyways. So this is excellent, excellent, excellent. So I'll just continue on and we'll touch back at a church that we went to on the Sunday morning before we left. This church here, I was the preacher for a little bit there. And then we had our devotions in the morning at this church. And the unique part was, it'd be like this, the fellowship. The Asian folks there all started to come into the back of the church, you know, the workers and the people walking by, and listened intently to our Bible devotion. So it was very good. And the item, too, is that we were watched as we did that, because that's the camera inside the government church. And the cameras were everywhere. Like here, there would be probably 8 or 10 cameras in here to make sure they caught glimpse of you. Again, here's the rural meeting the urban, and you have the fast food advertisement here with this lady here trying to stay healthy with keeping the pollution away from her, etc. Mao is everywhere in Shenyang that we are in. He is revered. You would not say anything negative, of course, towards Mao there. And there was literally dozens of statues. In Beijing, again, this is Beijing. We're back to Beijing. And we've missed North Korea, but we'll come back to there. Beijing, 20 million people, has one Christian bookstore. And this is it. And I kid you not, this place is 5 times the size of that store in here. It is tiny, tiny, tiny. And I'm not sure how they survive there. But I do know that we certainly blessed them with purchases, probably that we didn't really need, but we certainly got rid of some Chinese money. But the fact is, for a place that size, and they have one little distribution unit, it's incomprehensible. When we were leaving China, we went to Tiger Mountain. And it's, why did we go there? That's why I asked, why go there? Well, there's a spot near at the base of this mountain that's 6 feet wide. And it's the most often attempted escape route from North Korea for people. 6 feet of water, that's it. 6 feet. But it's also one of the most heavily fortified with soldiers with AK-47s, etc., walking on both sides. You see, China doesn't want people escaping there either because it causes political friction. So we were actually supposed to be able to take a boat through this 6 feet of water, but it was the time of the flood that was 2 months ago. North China was hit with a flood that went to North Korea, and we just missed that. But it had started on this day, so we couldn't. So Mr. Esterbrooks, being the world traveler, says, oh, I know of a Korean church we'll go visit. So it wasn't, you know, a half a kilometer away. We went to this Korean church, and we blessed these people as we went. And these were some of the workers of the church that were there, and this gentleman too. And we came and we prayed for them. And it was awesome just to be able to talk to these people, to see what they needed. How is their life? What are their struggles? What are their joys? What are their praises to the Lord? Because, you know, as we get pushed down by the outside world, oftentimes our praises rally us, right? We see how God has blessed us. For sure. Our last Friday in China, this is Mr. Esterbrooks here, and he's guarding. It's tough to see all those. It's all suitcases full, 350 pounds of Bibles we had with us. And There's Paul and I. We're yet to go through security again. Those Bibles are the most secure things in the world. They went through security everywhere, and not a once did they get looked at, for sure. And we took a train. We boarded another train, and this was the Cloak and Dagger. That morning, all 16 people wanted to go on this, so we had to reserve some cabs. And a young lady, a young Dutch lady, met us in the foyer. Don't know her name. She said, here's the slip to give to your cab driver. And we got to the train station, and we boarded a train, and it wasn't the same train station. It was another one, obviously 20 million people. They have more than one train station. We hopped on this train, and it averaged 357 kilometers an hour, so a little quicker than the other one. And we went for 1 hour. 1 hour. We didn't know the name of the place. Nobody told us the name of the place. We got out, and there was literally thousands of people in this underground train station. And we started to walk. And two people somehow joined our group. So we were 16, 17. We had the Dutch lady. And two more people joined us. And they were Asian. And they just said, follow us. And we followed them for about a half an hour. We walked up, down, all around, you know, James Bond for sure. And but there was cameras everywhere. So we were being photographed. And Lindo and I knew that we were told that when we get to our destination, we had less than 2 minutes. This is what we were told. You fellows, pack the car with that pile of suitcases and that. And that's exactly what we did. We came out of there, went upstairs. We had a bowl of rice, hopped back on the train, and we were back in Beijing by mid-afternoon. Mission accomplished. And I wish everything in life was that easy, but as our friends who had met us as we walked said, you folks have been photoed well today. Travel safely. So off we went. Those Bibles were not going to people in the city. I should mention, Bibles in the city, in cities, we were told in China, are plentiful. Maybe not, they don't have too many, but they have access to them. The Bibles we took would be going to rural China, where they have, number one, they don't have access. Number two, they have no money. And number three, they have no wherewithal to absolutely make contacts or get these Bibles. So by the time we left Beijing, they would have been read. So we're thankful. That's the train station we were at. I still, to this day, have no idea where that was or what the name of it is. But last picture about China. This gentleman is Brother Johnny Lee. It's not his real name. He's got a real name for sure. I know that. I've traveled with him a few times across Canada, and he's no longer with Open Doors, which saddens me. But I put his photo in. He traveled across China to be with us on our last Friday night there to have a meal with brothers and sisters that he knew. So I think highly of this man. He is a missionary amongst missionaries now. What he does now, it's the Nexus Mission he has started. And he actually trains Chinese leaders, obviously, with, as he says, with my color and with my eyes, I am welcomed in China, and you are not, so to speak, as a missionary. So he takes leaders, he trains them, and they actually send missionaries into Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, India. They're very forward-thinking, the Chinese. When they grasp this idea of Christianity, to be a follower of Christ at all costs, they really want to do that. So we praise the Lord for men like Johnny Lee. And I trust that in my travels somewhere I'll see him again. It sure surprised me to sit down and have a meal with him about 9 stories up somewhere in Beijing. But he probably didn't even know where he was. But and then he disappeared. You know, we ate and then he was gone again. So he's like the wind. But He is not revered by the communist country in China. They would like to have him under lock and key. So, on our last day before we left China, then we'll come back to North Korea, there was Lindo, myself, and another associate. We got bumped off our flight, so we had to stay another night. And that's okay. We weren't the tourists, so that's why we got bumped and the tourists could go home. So we stayed and we went to the largest government church in Beijing the next day. Only God would have it planned that our motel was only 5 blocks from this place. We walked down a city corridor and then we went into a time warp. We took a back alley. down an alley that I wasn't sure I should walk, although Mr. Esterbrooks and I had scouted this place out a few days before and talked to church leadership. So we ended up here. This is a back alley, and there's about 5,000 people attend here every day. It's the largest church in Beijing. They start their services about 7 a.m., and they run them to about 6 o'clock at night every hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on how the preacher preaches, sort of thing. So this is outside. We're in line. You have to get in line, and it's like Walmart. I don't mean negative on Walmart, but they had the queues all set up, and they had lovely people, very friendly Asian folks there to help us line up. Inside, it would look no different than this auditorium, really, although it was bigger, and it had those poles, as you can see, these poles here. Then it had other rooms and sort of thing. It was an odd building in the sense that it had all these rooms, but it was packed. The only place that wasn't packed was that we were told that we had to sit in three pews. So we had three pews all blocked off just for three guys. So we felt very privileged, and the message was interpreted for us. So you can see they're very smart here. They have the fans, but they also have the cameras underneath. So there's cameras everywhere here too, for sure. But the message from the preacher was as evangelical as we would get in any Bible-believing church here in North America. So we praise the Lord for that. It was a wonderful message. Wonderful, gospel-oriented, with application to get out into the Beijing city and make a difference, etc., etc. The music was wonderful. I had no idea what they were singing, but it was wonderful choir. Although this was a blessing, I did leave a huge supply of Korean literature, scriptures, and that with the worship leader, who Paul and I had did an end run to visit on the Wednesday before this to make sure that we were allowed to come. So we had a contact there, and I met her after this service, although she was getting ready for the other five services of the day. She was pleased to accept the gifts that we gave her, and I have no doubt that they're well used. After church, we headed out not knowing what to expect, but this is outside in the courtyard. There's another 1,000 people waiting to get in or whatever. It was just bedlam. And then as we tried to leave, go out onto the road, this is a roadway, actually. When we walked in, there wasn't anybody out there, but going out the roadway. And then, of course, it was just like North America. Somebody has to try to drive their vehicle down, but we walked a lot quicker. So I show this next. After we walked three blocks, again, it's rural. So this church would really be in a rural setting. It's back in the old part of China. Three blocks, we have this massive mall. I counted five malls in a radius of about two big city blocks there that would span at least 12, 13 stories high. It's just massive. So again, their paradigm of the city meeting the rural, and how are they going to put that all together as this communist government starts to move on. While we were in China, they became the second largest financial nation in the world. So now they're right on the heels of the United States of America. Right on there. Okay. So China, the Christian church in China, their struggle, we were told and we know for a fact, it isn't so much about Bibles now. What we heard loud and clear from our own guide, who also is one of our runners in North Korea, and also from Johnny Lee, who is a world traveler and knows China inside and out, it's not so much about scriptures. They will take scriptures and they will make sure they're used. But what they need are people like Mr. Esterbrooks to go and to train up young Asian pastors to stay in China to be pastors of the evangelical church there. No longer do they want me going there to attempt to be a pastor in an Asian culture. They're long past that. Johnny Lee would say this church is no longer an infant. The Chinese evangelical church is no longer an infant. He says that they're more like a 30-something. They still love their dads. They still appreciate their dads. but they really want to move away from their dads all in the same time. So they love the Church of North America. They still want and cherish our help, but they really don't want us there side by side all the time now. But they still want our help. So if that gives you a sort of a glimpse of the Chinese church. There's many prayer points, and we'll come back to those. What I've done is I have printed this slide off, and they're at the back. I would encourage you to take that. The flood in China, in North China, when we were there, just to give you an idea of what happened. We just missed it. When we got home, I had heard that we just missed a 9-day traffic jam. That's what that flood caused, a 9-day traffic jam, which we just missed. When we left North Korea and came back to Dandong in China, that city of 2 million was literally wiped off with that flood, which we stayed there a day, and we just missed it. So we thank the Lord for watching over us, but what we need to do is pray for those people in North China. It was tough for them because they were rural, poverty-stricken at that time with this flood. It was at harvest time, right? Mid-August, just approaching. And their harvest looked as beautiful as ours was going to be. So we need to pray for them for sure. I want to change hats and go to North Korea, if I could. I really wasn't sure about going to North Korea. Again, it's the most restrictive country in all the world. You can pick any Muslim nation, this is more restrictive. It's more restrictive for Christians. Open Doors has a world watch list of the top 50 countries in the world that persecute Christians simply because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. North Korea is number one and has been forever. And I don't foresee it unless the Lord shall come again where they're going to be changed. When we left China, we left the city of Shenyang, and we got on an old Russian airplane. It's right there, an old Russian airplane. I mean, this thing was old. I'm telling you, it was old. And we got on that to fly, but we left the city of glitz and glamour. Shenyang, 8 million people. You could walk down there. There's Starbucks, there's KFC, there's McDonald's, all these people out. You'd walk down at night, the young people. China's the new generation of gadgets and, you know, everything. They got the big iPads and all that other jungle mungle stuff. So we left that, all this light, and we get to, we get to North Korea, and I just want to read a couple of things. So North Korea is 23 million people. It's 10 million less than Canada. 10 million. And its nickname is the Hermit Kingdom because no information legally comes out of there without their government releasing it. None. None whatsoever. And after being there, I truly believe that. There is a bit of a change on site. My thought of when I left... And I get this from other readers, too, of North Korea. When I left there, I want to read you this. When all said and done, the most bizarre thing about the trip is that the North Korean government and the North Korean guides would think that we would believe what we saw is true in the real way of life in North Korea. Everything that we were allowed to see legally was a facade, was a show, and was put on by our hosts, the North Korean government. When we leave China, where we were in China, and I know it's not like this everywhere, was the glitz and the ritz. When we arrived, it was a stark contrast. When we arrived into this airport, it was so quiet. It was so quiet. All there were military. It was just the army there to greet us. The airport looked like, it looked like a cornfield. And I love corn. I'm from St. Mary's. We just harvested the corn. But, I mean, when we were landing, I said to my friend Lindo, where are we landing? And he said, nowhere. So when we landed, we taxied right up to the airport. And when I got off the airplane, there was one other airplane. No vehicles, no nothing. We walked into where we would get our luggage, and it would be a room about a third of the size of this auditorium, and it was all military people handling our luggage. And believe me, you waited in line. They told you Mr. Esterbrooks was our leader, so they called him over, and something was wrong with one of our papers, which we feared. You know, because they don't have to allow you in. They can put you on the next plane out, which would be the next day, maybe. They told us how to line up, what to do, and off we went. Most of our luggage was searched there, most of it. Again, when we went into North Korea, we knew the rules. The rules of engagement were you cannot take Christian literature in. You can have your own Bible. Most of us stretched that. We had three of our own Bibles with us, just in case. And we took Gideon Bibles, because those are world known. And usually it's a little softer to bring those in, which we did. When we stepped outside, finally we were released. Many people got searched twice and thrice, especially ladies with purses and personal material, and it was, you know. But when we arrived, when we finally got outside of the airport, it was a dark and gloomy, rightfully so. Because when we stepped out, again, I'm thinking of Beijing, Shenyang, Toronto, Vancouver, as just at, you know, London Airport, that. When we stepped outside of the airport, there was our bus. And there was our bus. That was it. There was people walking. I knew from reading up on North Korea that 70% of the people, their mode of transportation, they walk. That's it. They walk. 25% have bicycles, 5% have vehicles. The ultimate wealthy international global world leaders have the Lexuses, the BMWs. That's probably half of 1%. The rest is all military vehicles. So I said to my friend Lindell, I'm not sure about you, but what have we got ourselves into? Because none of our group had traveled to North Korea, and Mr. Esterbrooks even didn't. So this is what I wrote. I wrote this in my diary, and I must share this, and then we'll get into the... I felt like I was in an alternate universe, a time warp, frozen in time. Yes, I was. As I was about to hear talk of a war which ended in 1953... desire for unification with the South and North Korea's military victories, like the capture of the U.S. Pueblo some 40 years ago, and most, if not all of what we heard about history had been rewritten by the North Koreans for their population to believe they are living in the ultimate paradise. How sad that is. We were, when we got on the bus... This is how we had five guides with us. We had our head communist guide. We had a wonderful lady who was a guide. We had a videographer. We were videoed every minute we were in North Korea. We had a bus driver, of course, and he was fun, but he couldn't speak any English, so we were on an equal level with him. And then we had a young man who was in the Communist Party, and he told us that. And all he did was he stayed at the back of our group, and he wrote notes constantly. He had a book and took notes of our, I don't know what he was writing, whether it was kumbaya, 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 but that's all he did was take notes. And I have a cute story about him. The first day when we finally got to our motel, they took us to a motel, and it was the International Motel. It was the best motel in Pyongyang. Pyongyang is the capital of North Korea. We relived this because our guide had told us, I should say, when we got on the bus, he welcomed us in pretty good English. And he said, you are now in North Korea. We are the purest communist country in the world. Welcome. Okay. He repeated that many a times. I mean, as we are proud to be Canadian, they are proud to be communists. They really are. But so as our first night in North Korea, we did have devotions in North Korea on our own. There's 400,000 born-again believers in North Korea. If you are caught with a Bible or any part of a Bible, it is cause for execution in North Korea. Cause for execution. So, at this gathering here, because we have this, if this was North Korea and we were under the guise of this Christian fellowship, we could be executed. That is so sad, so sad. I'm here to tell you that there is a flow of scriptures heading into North Korea. The The night before we went to North Korea, we were at a Starbucks just passing through. Mr. Esterbrooks was there. And he's got a problem. He needs his Starbucks, Mr. Esterbrooks. And he was on his BlackBerry, texting his dear wife, saying, reassuring Diane that everything would be okay, fine, fine. And a gentleman walked by his little cubicle, and he did one of those, Paul? And he looked up and said this gentleman's name. He was our head person for a ministry that I know dearly from North Korea. And they were having a final meeting that night in that Starbucks about this huge operation of Christian material, medical aid, being sent to our believers, our brothers and sisters in North Korea. So I'm here to tell you that there are items going into North Korea. So if I sound very negative about the communists, I am. But we as believers in Jesus Christ are still fighting the battle, and we're winning that battle. So amen is for sure. So that was exciting. So our first night, our motel was on an island in Pyongyang. Pyongyang, 3 million. The only way you can live in the capital city at this North Korea is to be amongst the purest of all communist people in North Korea. That's the only people that get an opportunity to live in the capital city. If you live in the capital city, you will get food and clothing much greater than the other 30 million, or I should say 20 million of North Korea, who literally are starving to death, but not people in Pyongyang. So, our motel was on an island, and it was 45 stories high. As we pulled into it, guess what? There was us. One bus. No other vehicle. That's it. You do the math. There's about 40, 50 rooms on each floor, and it's 45 high, and there's us. They put us on the 40th floor, and I just have to tell you that we could open our window wide open and jump out if we wanted to, because we had our windows open. Anyways, we took some photos. Anyways, the idea there is you're on an island because they have more control of you. So no matter what we do. I tried to get out of the motel at night, and we were stopped by military and lots of other people. So they have us. Our first night there, they treated us, though. For $100 US, we were allowed to go to the mass gymnastics display. It's 100,000 people put on this gymnastics display. 100,000 people. Only in a communist regime as dire and as evil as North Korea could they put this on and make these people do this. They start about 6 months. I Googled it. I did some research. They start about 6 months ahead to train these people. So the first night, you see this backdrop here? See this backdrop? That's 20,000 children about the age of this young man right here. So about 20,000 of these young men and girls are back here hoping and praying they do not make a mistake. Because for an hour and a half, that backdrop continued to change in forms that you would go, I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that. These kids down here, they went for an hour and a half too of just unbelievable gymnastics, dancing, and display. And again, I don't know if there was any errors, but I doubt if there was. The communists say if there's errors, then there's only one reprimand, unfortunately. This is their only real display that they show to the world, is this. The stadium seats 150,000 people. It wasn't full by any means. There was a bunch of us and a bunch of military people there watching it, for sure. And I just give you a glimpse. A gentleman from South Africa that traveled with us has a video of this, and it's just mind-boggling and spectacular. This is the great leader whose photo is everywhere. This is Kim Jong-il, who is actually dying as we speak. We need to pray that God would intervene and he would come to know the Lord as a Savior. And it goes on and on and on. And this is only a little glimpse of it. And that's the stadium. My My point about the communists, they were so afraid of us to talk to anyone. And it's a sort of a comical story. I think it's comical now because I didn't get in trouble. But I'd promised Danielle, who's with us tonight, our daughter, that I would bring back a little brochure or a program from that show. Because she likes to do gymnastics, you know. So we're late. They made us late pretty well for anything we went to. They kept us busy all the time because they didn't want us to talk to anyone. So we were late going into the stadium on that night. And I saw some vendors. They're very North Americanized. They're very Americanized. They're Walt Disney. They will always take you to a souvenir place anytime you leave anywhere there because they want your money. They don't want your faith. They don't want your viewpoint. They want your money. So I spotted a couple of vendors, and I'll say these are the vendors over here. As I was going in, I thought, okay, that's where I got to stop going out. So after this, when we were leaving, of course, our five guides were herding us out like, not even like cattle, worse than that, keeping us going, and I'm wondering how I'm going to get there. So one lady who I knew she was a shopper. I knew she was a shopper. That's with respect. She made a beeline off, and all the communist guys went to herd her. So I did an end run back, did my football thing, and I went back and I found the vendors over here, and I was going, you know, I want one of those, and the lady would look at me just like that and go, I don't know, she didn't know what I was talking about, and you know, finally I got what I wanted after some negotiating. I don't know whether I paid too much, too little, or I don't know, but I know I left a lot of money there to bless her anyways. And I had this, get to the bus now. And it was the gentleman. But I did sneak away again. But they did not want us to talk to anybody in North Korea. And what would happen when we went into that stadium, because we were late, it was literally like packed out like this going in, like everybody was rushing to get in there. It's kind of like church here in North America. You know, we all kind of get there at 5:02 or 6 after or something and rushing in. But everywhere we went in North Korea, and this is part of the control that our brothers and sisters have to live under, it was like this. We, 16 white people, were walking along with our five communist people. And when our head guide went like this, you guys here would stand up and you would shuffle that way. You would stand up and you would shuffle that way, backs against the wall, heads down, and we would walk through. It was the eeriest thing because we want to be around people here, you know, when you're out in the public or at church, there, no such thing. This is just some photos of Pyongyang, and here's Kim Sung-il, and he is God. There is no religion in North Korea. They're a communist country. He is God. His father died in 1994. He is the eternal leader. He is spoke of as if he is right beside them. We actually asked one of our tour guides who had joined us from another item, and we said, do you believe that he is still alive? Yes, he is still alive. He is with me. He is with me. This gentleman's dying, and his son has been anointed the next ruler of North Korea. You might have heard that in the Globe and Mail or on the World News. He's 27 years old. He will become the leader of the most militarized country and the most evil empire in the world. 27 years old. He was just appointed a 4-star general because you have to be a general to be the leader of this country. So he was appointed that about 3 weeks ago. The only time the Communist Party gets together for a meeting is when there's a change in leadership. And there was the entire heads of the Communist Party were in Pyongyang just after we left to do the business of this. His statue is literally everywhere. Everywhere, it doesn't matter, it's everywhere. As we were trying to get to church on Sunday morning, we went to church in North Korea, do you believe me? Well, we went to a show in North Korea, and it was church. But before we went to church, we had to see where the great leader had been born. So this is where we're there. All these young people, just magnificent, wonderful, beautiful young people, were all hovered around where the leader was. Like it was something like a Dune Pioneer Village, if you think of something like that. So they were all in there. As we 16 white folks were coming up, yeah, I could hear this. And they went in unison like this. And that's why they're in that line, and that's why they're back that far. These are younger people, so they're looking at us. If they had been, say, my generation, there is no way they would make eye contact. How sad that we can't interact with these wonderful people. But I don't think this gentleman's too happy that his day has been lengthened by us, because he's their guide, so he has to wait also. This lady here, I'll come back to her. This was our guide at this. She was very upset. She did not like us. You knew by the tone of her voice as she translated. And believe me, this is church in North Korea. There's three church buildings. And this is one. This is the Protestant church building. Not a magnificent structure. When we drove into it again, we would usually drive into lots of vehicles. Well, there was our bus again in an empty parking lot. When we got in, this is the pastor. He was not too happy. It was 10:20 when we rolled in. Service was to start at 10. And these are some of the helpers, and there's Mr. Esterbrooks negotiating our way in. When we went into church, it was a beautiful service. This choir, we found out, was the professional choir of the government of North Korea that they had brought in so that we would be well ministered to in song. This was the pastor who preached to us, and it was all translated, so we had translation. This is probably the most severe anti-American message I've ever heard. He would simply call them anti-American pigs. All throughout his message, he just deplored America, the United States of America. He was crying that South Korea would not unify with North Korea, and on and on and on. So for 25 minutes, it was just him heaping on the United States of America. As we also had a quartet sing. Beautiful, beautiful song. I kind of forget what it was now, but it was a Christian song out of our hymn book. The hymn books were all much like we would have. And we had a soloist from a gentleman. But the ironic part of this as we left, so we left the church and we wanted to talk to these people, right? So we went out that door, and it was much like this setting here, little platform, went out there and we waited. And these folks, the couple ladies here, actually made an end turn to come out this way. Communists, our communist friends who were guiding us, went back, no, and pointed them back. They weren't allowed to come out with us. When we first came to this church, it really was a show. We knew it would be. But if you look here, if you were to see this entire part over here, it's symmetrical. There's a blue, a pink, a green, a blue, a pink, a green, a blue, a pink, a green. Everything is in identical order. And if there was any gentleman there, they were situated at the same spots. So when you look back, it was a mirror image. It was a show. It was a show. It was a beautiful show, but Christ was not honored that day. Outside, this is our head. These are three of our communist friends here wondering what they're going to do, because what happened was that you can see the folks were told to go out the back and down the side. We, our group, had been ushered up to over here by the pastor to take a photo. So we were kept there until all these people left the courtyard. We could not move. So again, it's part of the control that not only those communist folks live under, it's how our believers, the 400,000 Christians, live there. They want to live for Christ, but they're under this kind of oppression. It really is oppression. You do this or you're done. And this is in Pyongyang, a city that actually is probably a bit more caring for their own folks than anywhere else. We were in Kaesong and other cities, which was total devastation. So there they go. And I'm sure, you know what? They would love to talk to us. Would love to know what goes on in the world. Because we were somewhere, and I kind of forget now, but one North Korean person came up to us and said, "We need to ask you something." Very good English. "What's that?" "Is our leader dying? Is he sick?" They had no idea. They had heard rumblings that there was going to be changes in the communist government, but they weren't sure. So, of course, we told them that, as far as we knew, yes, he was ill. We didn't know whether he was going to die or not, but obviously the government thinks. And there's the man there. His photo is everywhere. We went into some of the most dilapidated, poverty-stricken areas that you could think of, and there would be a life-size photo like that in impeccable condition. People starve, but as long as this God is worship there, it's not going to change. I take these photos because this is why my heart bleeds for North Korea, is that next generation coming up. These two little girls were playing. They weren't supposed to look at us. They had their heads down because their folks were there. Obviously very wealthy North Koreans. This was outside the parliamentary library. It's this fountain place that they took us to. Because there's only six or seven places that you're allowed to be a tourist in North Korea. So we saw them. And then, but check the next, look at her eyes, catching a peek of us. She's as intrigued about what we would have to say and what our culture is as we are about how can we help that little girl survive and live for Christ. And again, I simply put this in lots of times because everywhere we went, this life size, I don't know if it's 100 feet or 200 feet, it's just massive. This is the Juche Tower. This is the ideological of Kim Jong-il. He has his own theology for the country. And the odd part is they have hydro go out all the time there. A lot of the places we were at, I don't have time to go into it, we were told when to bathe, when you if you need hydro because it's going to be out. All the hydro in North Korea could go out and this will stay lit. That is what he thinks of himself. All the people can die, but this will continue on. This is a tower. Anyways, all the leaders have this great courtyards. This is more the real North Korea. The mud roads in the cities and the people. Again, in a communist country, you're given your housing, you're given your clothing, and you're given your food vouchers. Your food vouchers will not feed you. They will not sustain you. We were told that we had to go visit that great big monument of Kim Jong-il. We're also told we had to buy 16 bouquets of flowers, because that's etiquette in North Korea. So Mr. Esther Brooks, being the Scotchman that he is, and he negotiated it down to two. We Canadians would give one bouquet of flowers, or buy one, and the Americans would give one. So they finally gave in. I mean, I tell you, that was probably the biggest negotiation of our entire trip. They did not want that because it is something to do with their government. So this is Mr. Esther Brooks, and this lady's from California, one of our American friends, and laying all these here. And what we were supposed to do is line up and then pay homage to Mao and bow. We didn't bow, for sure, and our trip or our visit there was cut short because our communist guides were absolutely livid at us that we would not do that. And that's not the only time they were upset, but there he is again. So beautiful country, people walking. Again, we couldn't get off the bus. We weren't allowed to take pictures of military. This lady is being forced to cut the lawn. It's part of her punishment. They wouldn't tell us what she did, but I found a person to ask. I said, "Now, is it weeding or no? She's being punished. She has to cut that lawn by hand." And I know God has forgiven me for taking this photo of the military. I know He has. I wasn't supposed to take military photos, but these six young men are about the age of my son, and I had to take it. Gregory's 14. These young guys were more serious in nature than any of the, not any, but most of the male military men we've seen. This is going to be their life. They're going to learn to hate people, and that's sad. Most of them are in North Korea. The church, even when you're a believer, you're made to work like this. They build roads. They bathe in the public. And so on and so forth. The roads are built by hand there. We saw that coming out, and I'm not sure if I kept photos. I'm going to speed this up. This is our trip into the demilitarization zone, the DMZ. There's 1 million military officers in the area that we went to. It's the border of North Korea and South Korea. And I just want to show you this, the mindset of the people there. So we had to go through security here. We had to be briefed and debriefed, et cetera, et cetera. We got on a bus with this gentleman, this colonel, was our tour guide for the next couple hours. And he is a highly ranking military officer in the North Korean Army. He is a spokesperson to the BBC and other media outlets. This is a guy in their military. Everywhere, again, photos. They took us to the place where they say the Americans surrendered to them. There's two buildings that we drove to, and that's what he's explaining. Explaining how the American pigs, and I'm sorry, that's what they called them. It's a disgusting term. Surrendered in this very building to them. Then they took us right to the battle line. So if a battle broke out, it would be right here. South Korea is that building. North Korea is over here. When we got out of our tour bus, and again on our tour bus this time, the colonel joined us with two members of his army with the AK-47s. These people were for real. I sensed that this is for real. And I'm not a person for war, for sure. These three buildings here are used for negotiations between the South and the North. So they're heavily used right now. And we were allowed to go into this building. Everywhere we went on this land, we were taken by an escort of a huge military deployment of men who did not smile, for sure. We were inside there, as you see. They had to go in and make sure the building was safe for us. They didn't want the South Koreans coming because it's a neutral zone. So we were in there. When we came back out, we were told to go to this building here. So we're back to North Korea. And the colonel says, "I want to meet you up in the balcony." Okay? I said to Mr. Esterbrooks, "What's that mean?" He says, "I have no idea, but where else can we go?" So we went up to this balcony. And we were told to sit in this room, which was maybe half this size, maybe a third of this size. I got to sit over here, and the colonel was over here having a cigarette. All the men in Korea smoke. I don't know why, but they do. So he's having a smoke over here, and this was our head guy, and he went back here. So as we sat there, you could have heard a pin drop. We didn't know what was going to happen. On the four doors, there was military men with the big military rifles. So we were waiting. So the colonel looked at Mr. Esterbrooks through the interpreter, and he asked him this question, "Will Obama ever talk to us?" And I praise the Lord that I was not the elder man of our group at that time. And I looked at Mr. Esterbrooks, and I could tell God was working on his mind. And he gave him an answer from a Christian base. He said through the interpreter that we are not here with a political agenda. We're 16 believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here, and he went like this, "We're here to pray for you." And he pointed at the colonel. And he went on, and there was three other questions. And they had this dialogue, and every time Mr. Esterbrooks pointed back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we want the best for your people. Your people are he said, your people are starving, and we know that's grieving God. We want them to have food. We want, you know, all this and this. And then all of a sudden, this colonel, he jumped up. I was sitting here, my head hit the back of the wall. And he stood up, and nobody laughed, of course. We were all just... And he stood up and walked right down the middle of that room. And I'm going, oh, Lord, come on, Lord. Lord, I know you're here. Lord, I know you're here. And he turned around and said something to Mr. Kim. And Mr. Kim then looked at Mr. Esterbrooks and says, "The colonel says if you want to pray, pray now." So in unison, we got up, held hands, and the colonel was there, and we praying for his salvation. And he knows English. Colonel says he doesn't. He knows English. Paul prays for his salvation, prays for unification. About, 5 minutes later, it's just a wonderful time. So God can use us, you know. I mean, and our communist folks, our five leaders, were all in there too, right? And they hear this. They heard us praying and singing on the bus anyways. But they see that in amongst this military might, that the Lord can still reign. That were we fearful? I think we should have been. I mean, it would be good to be fearful, but we weren't afraid, you know, because God was with us. So as we moved around North Korea, again, photos of the dad. This is the gentleman who's passed away, and this is the son. This place here, I only show it because this is where they house all the gifts that world leaders have given them. We went in this building, And we have those too. The Americans say, oh, that's a terrible waste of money. I said, well, you guys have the libraries of Congress and you have the libraries of the presidents. I mean, we all have that, right? We hoard this stuff. Now, our guide who went in there, again, we couldn't talk to anybody. Nobody looked at us in there. Every room we went into, all North Koreans left because there was North Koreans in there touring it. Every hallway we went in, the North Koreans fled to the other end. If our guide said if you went into every room in here for 2 minutes, it would take you 6 weeks to get through this building. I praise the Lord we aren't still there. But anyways, I show you this. This is a sacred land. There's no vehicles allowed. Probably about a half a kilometer you have to walk. And these gentlemen here, they are for real. Those guards, they are for real. I don't know who they're guarding it from, but they're there, and I think they had to stand there like 4 or 8 hours or something like that. This is us. We were walking down the street. So were these people. They were coming this way. They were already up to here, to our bus. But they had to shuffle back for fear that we would talk to them or they would talk to us. Control, control, control. If they try to do something different, they're gone. More pictures, and I'll just skim through these. They took us to a kids' camp to make us believe that they really care about their next generation. They don't. They do not care. These children were in little schools, and they're all made to do everything identical. These people were being berated and yelled at. This poor young girl, our group of 16 pray for her. Don't know her name, don't know where she lives. She looked so distraught. She was the only child in that whole building that would not look up. I mean, how would you like it? You're doing needlepoint. You're on display. You're doing this because you can do this to pinpoint accuracy because you are a North Korean. Look how good I can do this. There's no joy in their life. And martial arts. Then we were whisked into, we had to sit through about a half an hour show of these young people. It was fabulous, but again, orchestrated with no love from their heart for sure. We were told we needed to go see this warship that they captured some 50 years ago. It's an American warship. And we were in there for about a half an hour in a room that was maybe about the size of double this. There's 40 of us in there. They crammed 20 other North Koreans in. I guess they thought we might get out. And then there was us 16. And we sat through probably the most horrific half hour of anti-American bashing I've ever listened to. And again, most of it is make-believe. But that's the world they live in. And I show you this picture. A young girl was outside this boat up on the hill. Whoops. And again, this is why we need to work in these restricted countries. For that next generation. We want to support the believers there now. But this next generation that is helpless and defenseless, we want them to have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they need people like us to help them. As we left North Korea, our prayer walks did not go without. This is the man who took notes the entire time. He lost his book there. Mr. Kim and Miss Park. As we left, the ladies in our group showered Miss Park. They had talked to her one-on-one many times. They got her away from this gentleman who is not a nice man. And talked to her, because she's university educated, knows English as a second, maybe a first language, etc. They showered her with gifts of silk and all the things that she would never be able to buy there. They gave her beautiful jewelry and items. And then they gave her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave her a New Testament to pray about and to read. He also received, this gentleman here also received one. But as we left, this lady was crying. Our train got delayed 10 minutes. And she wept the entire 10 minutes as she looked, and the ladies in our group kept waving at her. You can pray for that lady. That her heart would change. Her only goal in life is to be a full-fledged member of the Communist Party of North Korea. Anyways, as we left, that was the train. That train did not go 347 kilometers an hour. We agreed that we could bicycle quicker out of North Korea. That's part of it too. This is North Korea. It's dilapidated. It's run down. Everywhere other than the government buildings I would dare say, is rat-infested and run down. In the small towns that we went through, as our 3.5-hour train ride was actually 8.5 hours. That's what it took us. They told us it was 3.5-hour train ride back to China. Took 8.5. But every little town we went in, was everything behind that facade is garbage and junk. This is North Korea. But this is always impeccable, that photo. The photo of their God. This is a garbage pile that people are going through. Again, they didn't allow the Americans to come by train out to see this. They had to fly back to China. So they do not want any Americans to see what we Canadians are allowed to see. Because this is people going through a garbage dump to live, I assume. But it's a beautiful country. There was corn and rice and potatoes everywhere that we traveled. Look at that. There should not be anybody starving to death in North Korea. The government hoards that and they trade it for military purposes. It's a beautiful, it's 70% mountainous, North Korea. It's a beautiful country. Beautiful. These gentlemen, we were taking the train out, but they're building a road. There's no bulldozers, no high hose, no front end loaders. They're actually digging it, and the gentleman down here, these people, they're bringing up the rocks. And then we're finally out. We're back in China. That's this is the bridge that the Americans blew up 50 years ago that we heard about over and over and over again. But they keep half of that bridge up as something to show the world how evil the Empire of the United States of America is. So lots of prayer points in North Korea. In North Korea, the church in North Korea is—it's not thriving, but it is growing. When we were there, a house church. When we were up in Mount Moinjiang near Yodak. Yodak is one of their hard labor camps. About 10 to 15% of their entire population is in hard labor camps. Okay, there's 23 million. So 2.5 million people are in hard labor camps. We believe our statistics tell us that about 40 to 50,000 born-again believers are in hard labor camps right now. When we were there, a house church was stormed by military. 23 people were there. 3 people were executed. And 20 were put in Yodak that night. That night we were a few kilometers away from Yodak staying in a motel. Our hearts cried out as we heard this. I can't tell you how we heard it. We didn't hear it on their news, but we heard it through Open Doors news that we could get that night. It certainly made that night, as Linda and I were talking and praying and thinking about that, as we counted cockroaches throughout our motel, and this was a 4-star motel in North Korea. Nobody else there, just us. It sure made counting the cockroaches seem so what? When we knew that 3 believers that day were killed for their faith in Christ, and 20 more would probably die in a hard labor camp. And they call it rehabilitation camps there, so our communist friends told us. The idea there, as they stand up for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe not in an outward sense like we do, but they still live out their faith in North Korea. We need to pray for them. We need to assist them in many ways. We need to give money to organizations that can get aid to believers. Food would be a good thing. Food. You can buy food there on the black market, but the government monitors that. And then if they know you have money, then they come and visit you, right? Which is not good. The flood I spoke about in North China that will destruct, basically wipe out their crop, will be worse in the northern part of North Korea. Because that flood wall came over that way. And again, we missed that there. And it was already poverty stricken and that. So whatever little crop they could have mustered would be long gone. And I assume now that people have died from starvation. And that's only been 6-8 weeks, of course, because of that. So I encourage you to pick up one of my sheets at the back, if you would. The church in North Korea is growing. It's not growing because of persecution. When the church grows, it brings on persecution. We in North America often think, oh Lord, bring us persecution and we'll grow. No, if we're doing our job evangelically and preaching the Word of God, our church will grow. Our church will grow, and then that will bring on opposition from the world. We'll bring that on, because as we grow, we'll grow stronger in the Lord. And that's what's happening, not only in China, but also in North Korea. In North Korea, a little bit more quieter, because the information's not coming out from North Korea. Okay. I think I'm going to leave it there, if I could. Could I just pray for North Korea and China right now? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God of the universe, Creator of all things, we thank You. Thank You for information like we've heard tonight. Thank You for born-again believers in China and especially in North Korea. I give You praise and honor and glory, and I pray, God, that You would shower upon them Your blessings. Give them what they need. Father, would the world listen to their cry as we read from Psalm? Would we be people willing to take up the cross and to do whatever it would take to bring comfort and aid to them? Whatever that might look like. That could be just maybe a blanket, Lord, that we take for granted. Father God, may we continue to pray for them. Pray for the leadership of the communist countries of China and for sure North Korea. I pray that this son who is coming along to take over, that his heart would be softened, Lord. We pray that he would come to know You as the Lord Jesus Christ, for without You, that country is not going to change. So God, we love You and we thank You. We pray Your blessing on the pastors that labor in China and North Korea. Father, even as we were there, I didn't share, but in China, pastors were put in prison, even the few days we were there. So for as open as they are still a closed country to many things. God, would You strengthen the pastors that are imprisoned? Would You strengthen their families? We pray, Lord, for the house church in China to continue to grow. As they say, it's growing 10,000 believers a day. We pray for them to grow in such a way that they would become missionaries to the world, Lord, because of their love for You. And Lord, we pray again for safety and protection for those in North Korea. I pray for those believers that are in hard labor camps, Lord. Father, would You grant to them relief, whatever that might look like. Lord, thank You for fellowships like Hessen that know about global missions and really take it to heart. Continue to bless them here. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.